الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، الله عز وجل خلق الجن والإنس، قال: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. إلا ليعبدون. إذن الله عز وجل خلق السماوات وخلق الأرض وخلق الإنس وخلق الجن، لماذا؟ من أجل عبادته. قال العلماء: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، إلا ليوحدون الله. فالناس تبتلى بعد الخلق، إما أن يكون الإنسان مؤمنا بالله وإما كافرا. ومنهم من قال: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، إلا ليعرفون، يعرفون أن الله هو الخالق وأنه هو المعبود بحق. إذن المسألة مهمة، فإذا عرفت الله عز وجل وحدته، وحدت أسماءه، وحدت صفاته، توحد ألوهيته. عرفت أنه الخالق، وعرفت أنه المحيي، وأنه المميت، وأنه الرزاق، وأنه العزيز، وأنه الحكيم، وأنه الرب. إذن يجب أن تعبده، تعبده ولا تشرك به شيئا. وطريقة هذه العبادة أن تصلي له، وتزكي له، وتذبح له، وتحج له. إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين، وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. فالإنسان ممتحن ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. من الذي يعمل أحسن العمل؟ ابتلاء. أول هذا العمل أن تعرف الله، أن تعرف الله قبل أن تعرف طريقة العبادة. اعرف الله قبل أن تعرف كيف تعبده، كيف تصلي وأنت لا تعرفه، كيف تصوم وأنت لا تعرف الله، كيف تحج وأنت لا تعرف الله. ولذلك التوحيد يحتاج إلى علم. قال تعالى: فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله. قبل أن تقول يا رب اغفر لي، تعلم معنى لا إله إلا الله، لأنه قال: فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات. الاستغفار حصل بعد العلم بالله، فكيف تقول يا رب وأنت لا تعرفه، لا توحده، ولا تعرف أسماءه، ولا تعرف صفاته؟ إذن أولا في هذا الدين تعرف الله، توحد الله قبل أن تأتي تصلي. ولذلك حين تجد بعض الدعاء يذهب إلى الناس فيقول: تعال صلي، أو يسأله: تصلي أو لا تصلي؟ لا، اسأل قبل الصلاة: هل يعرف الله؟ هل يعرف أسماءه؟ هل يعرف صفاته؟
Shaykh Hafidhullah wa Ra'ah, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking him and sending the peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And so it proceeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the mankind and the demon kind, the jinn that is, for a single purpose, and that is to worship him alone. And I have not created jinn kind nor mankind except that they worship me. That is, he created the creatures, all of them, the heavens, the earth, the sky, the sun, the moon. You and the jinn have all been created for the sole purpose of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ يَعْبُدُونَ Worship me means that they know me, that they have knowledge of who I am. And the ulama have said, it means يوحدون, that they make me one, alone, single and unique. In what I am and who I am and their actions toward me. That is, they make him one and alone in their worship, in his lordship, and his names and attributes. يوحدون or يعبدون. At this point, the person will be distinguished. Is he a believer or a disbeliever? Is he a mu'min or a kafir at this point of ibadah? For if he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a mu'min, and other than that, then he's a kafir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us that we may know him and worship him. If we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator that created us, the cherisher that continues to cherish us, the sustainers that sustains us, the ones that gives us our rizq, our sustenance, the one that protects us, the one that gives us help at time of need. And then we know that his names, such as Ar-Rahman, the Merciful, and he has the most perfect names, or the most blessed of names that only he can acquire. And we know his characteristics, that he is the most high, he is the most honorable, he is the irresistible over his slaves, he is the powerful, he is the mighty, he is the merciful. This will lead the person at this point, after acknowledging that that is his creator, and those are the names and attributes, to one reality, and that is the reality of only he, and him alone deserves the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, the person realizes, because he knows now who Allah is, that the worship is only for this being that is in this position of being the creator, the one that has these names and attributes that are complete and perfect. So the person, he makes his worship, his life, a matter that is in the hands of Allah, and that is like the saying, verily my prayer and my sacrifice, and my life and my death is for Allah alone. That is what I have been ordered with, and I am the first of the Muslimin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to see actions after this knowledge, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we may test you, which of you is the best in actions. This is a test. And this is a balwa. Sort of say, it's a issue that you're tested with. Which of you are the best in actions? You want to know Tawheed and you want to know how to do actions, then you need knowledge. Nothing can happen before this knowledge. Now, before you can even enter into any parts of Islam period, you need to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So Tawheed, to know Tawheed itself, this making Allah one and alone and unique and singled out. Well, you need to know what this is. You need to have knowledge of it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and know that there is no Lord except for Allah, no deity worthy of worship except for Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins and the sins of the believing men and women. After you have the knowledge of Allah, you may seek forgiveness. After you have the knowledge of who Allah is, you may pray. What is a prayer that you don't know who you are praying to? And for this, some of the callers that are out calling to Islam, they may ask the person, do you pray? Do you fast? Do you this? Do you that? Rather, it is, do you know Allah? What are some of His names? What is the characteristic Allah has? And if they know this, then they know who they're worshipping. And if they don't, then they have no worship. Who are they worshipping? They have no knowledge of the one that they are worshipping. How can you worship one you don't know his name? You don't know his characteristic. You don't know anything. This is hollow, worthless. So rather, the person, he begins with Tawheed. And he seeks knowledge of this Tawheed so that he may understand it. No.
لذلك أول ما يسأل العبد في القبر من ربك؟ ما دينك؟ ماذا تعرف عن هذا الرجل الذي هو محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم؟ لا يسأل عن الصلاة، لا يسأل عن الصيام، ولا يسأل عن الزكاة، إنما يسأل عن الرب. من ربك؟ هذا حديث عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قبر أحدكم أتاه ملكان أسودان أزرقان يقال لأحدهما منكر والآخر نكير فيقولان ما كنت تقول في هذا الرجل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو قائل ما كان مؤمنا يعني لابد إذا كان مؤمنا أن يقول قال هو عبد الله ورسوله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وعن البراء بن عازب قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المسلم إذا سئل في القبر فشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فذلك قول الله عز وجل يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء إذن إذا كان هو في الدنيا يعتقد بالله عز وجل كما جاء به محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وما في دين الله الإسلام فإنه في القبر إذا سئل هو قائل إن كان مؤمن فالله عز وجل يثبته أي يجعله يتكلم هذا يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت ربي الله ودين الإسلام وهذا نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لأنه ثابت على هذه العقيدة في الدنيا فهو يثبت في الآخرة وعنه أيضا إن الميت ليسمع خفق نعالهم إذا ولوا مدبرين يعني حين يضعوه في القبر ثم ينصرفون هو يسمع خفق نعالهم وهم منصرفون حين يقال له يا هذا على الامتحان الاختبار، من ربك؟ ما دينك؟ من نبيك؟ هو اختبر في الدنيا، جاءه الحق فتعلمه. الآن نرى نتيجة هذا الاختبار في الدنيا بأسئلة بسيطة. هنا في الدنيا مطلوب أن تبقى تتعلم حتى تموت، مطلوب أن تبقى على الصراط المستقيم حتى تموت. فإذا مت، فإذا كنت صادقا في الحياة الدنيا، ثبتك الله في هذه الحفرة. ولذلك من نجا من الحفرة نجا من العذاب الآخرة. هذا أول منزل. يقال له يا هذا، من ربك؟ وما دينك؟ ومن نبيك؟ وفي رواية ويأتيه ملكان فيجلسانه فيقولان له من ربك؟ فيقول ربي الله. فيقولان له وما دينك؟ فيقول دين الإسلام. فيقولان له ما هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم؟ فيقول هو رسول الله. فيقولان له وما يدريك؟ هو أجاب صواب، لكن هذه الرواية تقول، يعود يسأله وما يدريك؟ ما الذي جعلك هنا تجيب صوابا وما يدريك؟ فيقول قرأت كتاب الله وآمنت وصدقت. إذن قرأ تعلم كتاب الله وآمن. فالإيمان يحتاج إلى علم، وهو قوله فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله. قرأت كتاب الله وآمنت وصدقت. آمنت بما جاء في كتاب الله وفي سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وصدقت وعملت بما في كتاب الله وبما في سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأما الكافر أو المنافق، طبعا الكافر لا يسأل، ها لا يسأل الكافر لأنه مات على الكفر، لأن الله عز وجل يعلم أنه جاءته الحجة فرفضها. لكن المعني هنا الكافر أو المنافق هو الذي كان في أمة محمد يظهر الإسلام ويبطن الكفر، لأن الرواية إن هذه الأمة تبتلى في قبورها. فكل من انتسب لأمة محمد سوف يسأل، فمن كان صادقا يثبت، ومن كان منافقا يبطن الكفر فيقول لا أدري كنت أقول ما يقول الناس فيه، يعني عن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيقال لا دريت ولا تليت، ثم يضرب بمطرقة من حديد ضربة بين أذنيه فيصيح صيحة يسمعها من يليه إلا الثقلين.
لا دريت ولا عيش
ولا لا دريت ولا تليت،
يعني كتاب الله، يعني ما تليت كتاب الله ولا عيش.
لا ما عرفت يعني ما دريت ولا
Shaykh Hafidhullah, he went on to continue saying, due to this, and that is, we were talking about ilm, knowledge, and needing the understanding, He said, due to this, the first thing that the slave is asked about in his grave is, who is your Lord? And then he's asked, what is your deen? And then he's asked, who is this man? Meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He's not asked about your salah. How much salah did you do? How much zakat did you give? How many Ramadans did you fast? He's asked, who is your Lord? What is your deen? And who is this man that was sent for you? This is that the person is asked about the fundamentals, the great affairs first. From the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he said that the one will be put in his grave, and two angels will come to him in the color of black and blue. Munkar and Nakir are their names. And they'll say, who is your Lord? And what is your deen? And who is this man? And in one narration, they will make him sit up and ask him this. As for the one that is a believer, he will say when it comes, who is this man? He will say, this is the messenger of Allah, and this is his slave. Or this is the slave of Allah and his messenger. And he will testify that I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah, and Muhammad is his slave and messenger. That is, he says the shahada in his grave when he is asked. And from Al-Bara ibn Azib, that the mu'min, when he is asked in his grave, he will testify, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I testify, bear witness, that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is a slave and messenger. And this is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah makes firm those that have believed in this world, and He makes them firm in the next. And the Shaykh says that they are the ones that were righteous and truthful in their testimony, in the shahada, then that truth and their being sadiq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them that Allah will keep them firm in the akhirah, in the next life. So it's a matter of truth and reality of the person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides those that have oppressed, and Allah does as He wills and wishes. So if the person was a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will testify without any hesitation in the shahadatain. And he will say, when it is asked to him, who is your Lord? He will say, my Lord is Allah, because he knows who Allah is. And my deen is Islam. And this man that has been sent between us is Muhammad, the slave and messenger of Allah. He was firm, and his reality was true in this dunya. And therefore in the akhirah, Allah blessed him with staying firm. Allah is the one that made him firm in the akhirah in front of this trial of two angels coming in front of him, standing him up and asking him in his grave. And due to the reality he was in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the success and the thabat, the firmness, when he is asked at that point. And it is narrated that the slave is put into his grave, and the last thing he hears is the ni'al, the walking or the footsteps of the people leaving his grave. And then the angels come and ask him this question, who is your Lord? The mu'min again, he will reply, my Lord is Allah. What is your deen? My deen is Islam. Who is this man? He's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. How do you know that? That's the next question they ask. وَمَا أَدْرَكَ وَمَا يُدْرِكَ. What made you know that this is your Lord and that's your deen and that's your prophet? The man will say, I read the book of Allah and I believed in it. That's his answer. I read the book of Allah and I believed in it. The person built his belief upon knowledge. To be a mu'min, he had to have knowledge. I read the book of Allah. I learned the book of Allah. I was taught the book of Allah. And I believed in it. And this is how he knows. And then he is left alone after that. Now, the Shaykh points out, learning is a condition. Ilm is a condition of having iman. And know that there is no Lord except for Allah. And then seek forgiveness for your sins and the sins of the believing men and women. That is, I believed in Allah. I believed in His book. I believed in the sunnah of His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And I acted upon it. That is his iman. The kafir, what does he say? The disbeliever, the munafiq. The Shaykh says, first of all, now I went and said kafir here. The kafir is not asked. I meant munafiq. The kafir is not asked because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows he's kafir and he's not going to be asked. Rather, the one that is asked is the munafiq, the hypocrite. That is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam statement, this ummah will be tested in its graves. Anyone within this ummah is tested in their graves. The hypocrite will be asked, because anybody that's part of the ummah of Muhammad is one that attributed himself to it. The hypocrite is somebody that attributed himself to Islam in appearance, but in reality he was a kafir. This is the hypocrite. But because he attributed himself in appearance, he is questioned, because he is now from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's asked and he'll say, I don't know. I heard the people say, my Lord is Allah. I heard them say, my religion is Islam. So this person will be taken. No. So this person will be taken and he will be beat. And he will be beat. And it will be said to him, when he says, I don't know. He said, may you never know. And he'll be beat with rods of metal. And they'll hit him in his from the front side and the back side to the worst sound comes out of him. Everything hears it. Except for the thaqalain, that is the mankind and the jinnkind. They don't hear his screams. But this is what will happen with the one that was not truthful in his testimony and his bearing witness to the shahadatain, or the one that did not know, like the believer that did know. He said, I believed, I meant, wa saddaqt, and I took it to be truth. That is the book of Allah and the deen of Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Idhan al-matlub al-awwal ma'rifatullah azza wa jalla. ولذلك لما أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم معاذ بن جبل إلى اليمن قال له إنك تقدم إلى أهل الكتاب إلى قوم من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه لا إله إلا الله فإذا عرفوا الله فأخبرهم أنه افترض عليهم في اليوم والليلة 5 صلوات. وهذا الذي فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم 13 عاما في مكة وهو يعلم الناس لا إله إلا الله. فلما عرفوا الله نزل الأمر بالصلاة إذن يجب أن نهتم أولا أن نتعلم معرفة الله حق المعرفة. لو أننا سألنا الناس اليوم من ربك؟ يقول ربي الله. ما دينك؟ يقول دين الإسلام. ماذا تعرف عن هذا الرجل؟ من هو هذا؟ من نبيك؟ يقول نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. لكن هذه الإجابات غير كافية. لماذا؟ أنا أقول له من ربك؟ يقول ربي الله. لكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للصحابي قل ربي الله ثم استقم. لا يعرف ربه إلا إذا استقام في عقيدته واستقام في عبادته، وإلا فكل الناس يقولون ربي الله. أهل السنة وأهل البدعة يقولون ربي الله، لكن أهل السنة استقاموا على العقيدة الصحيحة يقولون ربي الله وهم على الاستقامة. ما دينك؟ دين الإسلام. كل الناس يقولون دين الإسلام، ولكن أهل السنة استقاموا على طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأهل البدعة الإسلام عندهم مختلط، فيه بدع مختلفة، طرق تخالف طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. من نبيك؟ نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أهل السنة أحب النبي لأنهم قالوا وفعلوا بقول الله قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني، فاتبعوا النبي فأحبهم الله. وأهل البدع قالوا نبينا محمد، ولكنهم أحبوه ادعاء لأنهم لو أحبوه حقيقة لاتبعوه. إذن هناك فرق في الإجابة هنا. صحيح الإجابة واحدة من السني ومن المبتدع، ولكن فهم هذه الإجابة وأصلها يخالف بعضها البعض. أهل السنة يخالفون أهل البدعة. أهل السنة حين قال ربي الله أراد منها الاستقامة. لذلك في القبر يخشى على أهل البدع هؤلاء مما يحملوه من النفاق أن يقول ها لا أدري. من أجل ذلك يكون السؤال كالتالي للأحياء حتى يعرف المبتدع من السني. ما يقال من ربك في الاختبار للأحياء، إنما في الاختبار للأحياء يقال أين ربك؟ أين الله؟ هذه الجارية التي شكاها الصحابي وجاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لها أين الله؟ وهذا امتحان لأهل البدع الذين يقولون الله موجود في كل مكان. إذن هو قال لها أين الله؟ قالت في السماء وأشارت بإصبعها. قال من أنا؟ قالت أنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال للصحابي اعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. فاستدل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على إيمانها أن فطرتها بقيت سليمة، فهي حافظت على صفة العلو وعرفت من صفات الله، إذن هي تعرف من ربها. أما الذي يقول الله موجود في كل مكان، هذا يصلي وقد أضاع ربه، ليس عنده رب معروف. لمن يصلي لا يدري لمن يصلي. الأصل أن يعرف ربه، أن يعرف صفاته، وهذه صفة العلو مهمة. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى، تسجد وتقول سبحان ربي الأعلى، ولما تنتهي أيها المبتدع من الصلاة تقول الله موجود في كل مكان. إذن أنت ما الذي تصلي؟ ما معنى هذا السجود؟ وهو سقط في امتحان صفة العلو، ولو تتبعناه في الصفات الأخرى نجده راسبا لا يعرف ربه، يتأول الصفات وقد ضل عنه. هذا إذا كان متأولا جاهلا يعلم، لا بد أن يتعلم لا إله إلا الله، أن يوحد الله بأسمائه وصفاته ويوحده بألوهيته. إذن هذا الامتحان الذي يوجه. من نحن؟ أيضا نقول نحن على طريقة النبي، على طريقة السلف، لابد أن نعرف نفسنا للناس أننا نحن على طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلى طريقة السلف الصالح الذين قالوا الله في السماء. إذن هذه الأسئلة لابد هنا أن نتعلمها قبل أن نأتي القبر. وأهل البدع يقولون أنتوا لسه مضيعين وقتكم، شو أين الله؟ دائما تمتحنون في أين الله؟ هؤلاء سبحان الله سوف يضلوا إذا صدوا عن هذه الدعوة، وإلا فهذا هو الدين أولا. فإذا عرفوا الله فأخبرهم أن الله افترض عليهم في اليوم والليلة 5 صلوات، وهكذا نعلمهم الفقه. أولا نبدأ بالفقه الأكبر ثم نتبعه بالفقه الأصغر ومسائله. أما أن نبدأ بالفقه الأصغر ونحن لا نعرف من نعبد فهذا ضلال.
بارك الله فيكم. Shaykh Hafidhullah wa Ra'ah, he continued on to say, then, what is binding upon us is that we first know and we have the ma'rifah, the knowledge of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Most High, is. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam to Yemen. He said, Ya Mu'adh, you're going to a people of the book. The first thing you call them to is that they testify to La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah. If they know that, if they acknowledge that, then proceed with them and tell them or teach them that the 5 daily prayers are an obligation upon them until the end of the hadith. So this is the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in reality. In Mecca, he alayhi salatu wa sallam spent those 13 years teaching the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. His goal at that point was, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what he wanted to teach the people. When they understood, when they knew who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then Allah commanded with the prayer. Then the salah was made an obligation. But after the people acknowledge Allah is their creator, He has these certain names and attributes, and He deserves their worship alone. So if you ask the people, who is your Lord? They'll say, my Lord is Allah. You ask the people today, who is your Lord? My Lord is Allah. Or what is your deen? My deen is Islam. Who is your messenger? Who is the Prophet? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that's good, but it's not enough. These are the questions we'll be asked in the grave. And on that day, the reality of what we were upon will become apparent. But the test in this dunya, afwan, that's not enough, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahabi, say my Lord is Allah, and then become upright. So, become upright in your worship toward Allah. Become upright in your belief system. Become upright in the commandments of Allah. Ahl Sunnah, they do what they are ordered and are upright. They say, our Lord is Allah, and then are upright with that. So when they say, our Lord is Allah, they say, our Lord is Allah, and they follow it with uprightness, because that was the second part of the command. That is, our Lord is Allah, and these are His names and attributes. Our Lord is Allah, and this is His characteristic. The people of innovation, they're not like this. Now, the people of innovation, they say our Lord is Allah, and then they have some different characteristics to who this Allah they're claiming is. Different names, different meanings to the characteristics and names that He has. But Ahlus Sunnah said, this is our Lord, He is Allah, and this is what He is. This is His names, these are His characteristics. This is becoming upright. Ahlul Sunnah said, our Lord is Allah, and then became upright. Ahlul Bid'ah just said, our Lord is Allah, and they forgot the second part of the commandment. Ahlul Sunnah, or the people are asked, what is your deen? Our deen is Islam. Ahlul Sunnah say, our deen is Islam, and have become upright upon that Islam. Which Islam? Islam upon the book in the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf. Ahlul Bid'ah, our Islam is what we make up. They didn't make istiqamah. They did not become upright upon the commandment that they were given. They said what they did not do and do what they didn't say. They said our Lord is Allah, but they contradicted that with something else. They say our deen is Islam, but they came up with other than it. So, who is this messenger? This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ahl Sunnah love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What's the proof? They acted upon what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. Ahl al-Bid'ah, they claim a hollow, empty claim, and the proof is they did not act upon what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. Rather, they added or subtracted to what he came with. This is the reality here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, if you love me, then follow the Prophet. Follow the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahlul Sunnah have followed the Messenger after the claim that he is their Prophet. Ahlul Bid'ah contradicted their statement, for they did not become upright. Ahlul Bid'ah, they are known to directly oppose Ahlul Sunnah in these affairs. Again, this is the characteristic of the people of the Sunnah. The people upon the way of the Salaf is that they say our Lord is Allah and istiqamu. They have uprightness upon that. So it is feared that the person of innovation in this life, he might be one of those munafiqeen. He might be from the hypocrites in the grave that will say, I don't know, I heard such and such. Because he didn't have the istiqamah. His reality is not that he did believe in Allah, and not that Islam was his religion, and not that Muhammad was his messenger. Now, in the grave it's asked, who is your Lord? That's that test. But in this life, there is another one. Where is Allah? Is the test we are tested with in this dunya. Where is Allah? If you pass this, then inshallah you will continue to pass the rest. Where is Allah? When you know this, then you know you're upon something right. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most high above the sky, not everywhere. Ahl Sunnah testify to that. Ahl Bid'ah, some of them may say Allah is everywhere and everything all around. It's the innovation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, it was brought, a young slave girl was brought forth to him, and he tested her with what? To know if she's a believer or not. What did he test her with? Where is Allah? He said to her. She said, Allah, pointing with her finger, is above the sky. So you say Allah, and you point with your finger, is above the sky. And then you pass that exam. Now Ahlul Bid'ah, innovation. The people of desires, where is Allah? Some of them say, what kind of question is this? As if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam didn't ask it before. Some of them say, Allah is everywhere. As if the answer didn't come in the hadith. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam further went on and said, who am I? After she passed the first question, he said, who am I? She said, you are the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. He said, let her leave. Let her be free. She is a believer. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam use as a proof for her belief? The two answers to the two questions. Allah is above the sky and you are the Messenger of Allah. Now, this was her being upright. She knew her Lord. When she said, where is Allah? She knew his characteristic, which gave him the proof that she knows who he is. The person of bid'ah, he lost his Lord. His Lord to him is lost. Where is he? I don't know. He's everywhere. Or what kind of question are you asking me? Ahlul Sunnah, this is what we test ourselves with. Where is Allah? If I remember Allah is up above the sky, I have passed. Ahlul Bid'ah, they say, you're wasting your time with such questions. What kind of little issue is this that you're presenting us with? But the Prophet ﷺ used it as a criteria for belief, of iman. Now we see the reality of istiqamah, of being upright. Do you know your Lord? Naam. So if the person... He said this is a great issue. I mean, this issue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Ali, high, most high, above all of his creation is a very important issue. Because if the person fails in this, you will find him in the rest of the characteristics and names of Allah. And other than it, in the issues of the belief system, the proper belief system of the Muslim, you will find him a failure. You will find him deficient in every last one. Because he failed right here, in one of the most essential parts of it. Now, if the person is ignorant, then he is to be taught the names and attributes of Allah, and brought to the Sunnah, and brought to the correct way. Then this is the way of the Salaf. We know who our Lord is, and then we become upright about it, and upon it. They say, our Lord is in the sky, most high. And this is something called the greater understanding, fiqh al-akbar. This is the greater understanding. That's why we're asked again, who is your Lord? We're not asked how many prayers did you do? After you have this great understanding, or the major understanding if you wish, of who your Lord is, what your deen really is, who the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, then you move on to the next things. Your aqidah is in place, you know who you're praying to, you know your direction, then you move on to the different topics and issues of Islam. As for Ahlul Bid'ah, then Allah al-Musta'an, they begin from any which way they like and wherever their desires take them. And rather the person, this is the methodology and way he goes about his calling to Allah and his da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah.
أنا في غرينزبورو عملنا امتحان للأطفال. الأصل أن الطفل يجيب بجواب الفطرة. سألناهم أين الله، فكان قسم من الطلاب يشير بإصبعه إلى السماء، والقسم الآخر يقول موجود في كل مكان. فأنا استغربت، سألت قالوا هؤلاء الذين قالوا في السماء نحن نعلمهم عندنا في المسجد، وهؤلاء الذين قالوا الله موجود في كل مكان يدرسون في المدارس الأمريكية. ولذلك لابد من المحافظة على فطرة الطفل ألا تنحرف، لأن كثير منا يذهب أطفاله عند الآخرين سواء من أهل البدع أو الكفار فتنحرف فطرتهم. نهتم بأطفالنا بعلوم الدنيا دون أن نهتم بصيانة عقيدتهم. ولذلك لقمان لما قال في وصاياه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم، حصن ولده في مسائل العقيدة والدين. فإذا فهم الولد مسائل الاعتقاد الصحيح التوحيد خلص لا نخشى عليه، لكن لابد أن نراقبه باستمرار. أحسن ما نريد من الطفل دائما أن يحفظ القرآن أن يصلي، ولكن في الحقيقة لا نسأل عن اعتقاده أن الجنة حق والنار حق والله في السماء والله يرى والله يسمع وليس كمثله شيء وأنه الإنسان يعذب في القبر وأن الشيطان يوسوس. كل هذه من مسائل العقيدة يتعلمها الطفل قبل أن نحرص على حفظه القرآن. يحفظ القرآن ولا يدري ما فيه من المعاني، وهذا الذي هنا شيء من هذا التساؤل. يقول يعني أن الأولاد متأثرون، كل شيء يسألون نقول حرام حرام، بنت بنطلون حرام، موسيقى حرام، صور حرام. فلا بد من أن نتدرج، لا نزرع في الطفل العقيدة الصحيحة، ثم إذا فهم العقيدة وعرف الله يعلم الحلال من الحرام. فإذا قيل له حرام يقول سمعا وطاعة. أما إذا خالي من العقيدة ما عنده عقيدة صحيحة طبعا لا يرضى بهذه الكلمات، يفتتن بما يجري في الخارج لأنه لا يعرف الله. أولا تعلمه الله. هاي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما جاءت هذه الجارية هل قال لها كم تحفظي من القرآن، سمعي الفاتحة، تصلي أو لا تصلي؟ قال لها أين الله؟ قالت في السماء. قال من أنا؟ قالت أنت رسول الله. قال اعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. لذلك يفر طلبة وسن تقول 16 و25 وين موجودين؟ صابت يهربوا. هربوا لماذا؟ لأننا نحن طالبناهم بالحلال والحرام قبل أن نعرفهم من الذي يحلل ومن الذي يحرم. هم يعتقدوا أننا نحن نحرم لا يقبلوا هذا الكلام، أو نحن نحلل لا يقبلوا هذا الكلام. يجب أن نعلمهم أن الله هو الذي أمر بالصلاة، أن الله هو أمر بالحرام نهى عن الحرام، أمر بالحلال، حتى يعرف ربه يراقب ربه. هو يخشى منك تعلمه أن يخشى الله، أن يصدق لأنه يعرف الله، أن لا يكذب لأنه يعرف الله. لا بد أن نعرف الأطفال بالله عز وجل. هذا حرام، الله قال هذا حرام، الله قال هذا حلال. أما أن نقول حلال حرام ولا تفعل هذا حرام، طب كيف هو يفكر أننا نحن الذي نحرم ونحن الذي نحلل؟ ولذلك ينشأ فينظر إلى غيرهم من الناس فيفعلون مثلهم. وأيضا هي تسأل عن الرنات الموبايل هاي، ومنها من يضع القرآن والأذان طبعا هذا غير صحيح، هذا امتهان للأذان وامتهان للقرآن. تضع عنها رنة غير موسيقية فقط تنبيه، أما يقرأ القرآن فأنت يقرأ ممكن خذوه فغلوه، أيوة حياك الله، صحيح. فهذا خطأ، يعني لا يجوز استعمال الأذان. وطبعا لعله يؤذن أحيانا، والله أنا أجلس مع ناس حين يؤذن أفكر أنه جاء وقت الظهر. طبعا يسأل هل يجوز صلاة الظهر قبل وقتها لأنه لا يستطيع أن يصليها في العمل فيصلي جمع الظهر والعصر مقدم؟ هذا لا يجوز، إذا دخل وقت الصلاة يصلي ولا يجمع الظهر والعصر إلا لضرورة، أما أن يجمعها باستمرار يعني وتصير عادة من أجل العمل فهذا لا يجوز، هذا خلاف الحق.
خلص السؤال ترجمة إن شاء الله كتب رسالة. Sheikh Hafidhullah Wara'ah, he said, you know, when we were in Greensboro, we had a little test for the children. And from the questions asked was, who is your Lord? Where is Allah? Where is Allah? He says, some of the children, alhamdulillah, they were a majority, by the way. They said, Allah is over the sky. He said, Allah is in the sky. Most of them pointed up too, mashallah. Now, some of them, they said, no, Allah is everywhere. He said, so I found this surprising. A masjid of the people of the Sunnah, they have children saying Allah is everywhere. So he asked around, he said, why are these children saying Allah is everywhere? What's wrong with them? He said, well, the children that told you Allah is in the sky, they're children we teach at our school, the Islamic school. The children you saw telling you Allah is everywhere are children that are generally in public schools. And they were, you know, a few within the kids. These are the ones that were taught in public schools. He said, it's important that you pay attention to the aqidah of yourself and your children. You see, they put these children in an environment that destroyed their natural disposition. From thinking Allah is in the sky and above everything to thinking Allah is everywhere. Now, Luqman alayhi salam says to his son, oh my son, do not associate partners with Allah. Shirk. Verily, shirk is a great oppression. Luqman alayhi salam, he taught his child aqidah. He taught his child the belief system. That was what is important to him. After this, you may feel secure about the child. After the child knows his aqidah, his belief, you may feel secure in the areas of life he may go. For now he is founded and firm. Some people, they come and ask the child, did you pray? How much Quran do you know? Do you fast? But very few people pay attention to the child's belief. What will happen after we die? What are the questions we are asked? Where is your Lord? What is a characteristic or name that he has? Very few people pay attention to this. But rather, this is the fundamental. This is the root of belief in the heart of the child, in the person himself. Now, we have a question from a questioner that says, you guys make this haram, singing is haram, dancing is haram, liquor is haram, smoking is haram. Sheikh said, this is what some of the children are saying, this questioner says. He says, what do you think they're saying this for? If you're telling them this is haram and this is halal and this is right and this is wrong and they think it's from you, what do you think? They're going to take what you say? Rather, you forgot to grow in their hearts the belief system, the proper belief. You forgot to tell them Allah is your Lord that created you. Allah is the one that sustains you. The commandment is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah you will return. About Him you will be questioned. And then, when that happens, you tell the child, this is haram, Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard what you say and we obey. Because Allah said it's haram. But you come and tell him this is haram, this is halal, pray, fast, do, done. You're not going to take nothing. Because the aqidah, the belief, is not there. And now the importance of it becomes very clear to all. So what we ask is that you teach the people this first. This is what we're asking before anything. The Prophet ﷺ said to the girl, how much did you pray? Do you pray? Do you fast? How much Quran do you know? He said, where is Allah? Where is He? Do you know Him? And who am I? And when she replied, Allah is above the sky and you are the messenger, he said, she's a believer, let her go. This was his proof. So, the aqidah is not built into these children. So when you tell them this is halal, this is haram, don't expect anything else than them running away from you because you're just another creature like them. The questioner further on asked, may Allah bless them, about the ringing of the phones, that some people have the adhan on the phone and some people have the Qur'an. He said, well, this is something not permissible. This is humiliating the Qur'an and the adhan. That's not what they're meant for, to let you know you got a phone call. You want to know you got a phone call, you put a little alarm on there. You don't have to put music to know that you have a phone call either. You put an alarm on your phone and you know you got a phone call. And he said, you know, sometimes it might be pretty harmful to you having the Qur'an on there, because he noted an ayah. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Take him and put him in the blaze. You know, say he answered that and he's حَيَّاكَ اللَّهُ سَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. As if he's inviting that punishment to himself. The Qur'an is reciting that. حَيَّاكَ اللَّهُ خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Hey, I'm coming with you. This is harmful to you, man. So this is another issue with it. And then he says, you know, sometimes we're deceived by it. We're sitting down with people, sometimes the phone starts making adhan, we get up for Salat al-Dhuhr and, you know, we don't know. We just hear an adhan. So, it was asked to him after that, because of the job, we pray Salat al-Dhuhr and Asr together because we can't pray at the job. Is that permissible? He said, no, this is not permissible. You pray Salah on its time. Salah has times and you pray on its time. It's permissible to make jama' of the salawat, that is, combine the two prayers together in a time of necessity, and not that it's done continuously as, you know, something that you do all the time. Naam, subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. الله بالشيخ بسم الله نعم هش خمس دقائق إن شاء الله
أيوة كلها
هذا كاتب هذه المسألة قصدي بس أنا عاوز أفهم كيف ما أفهم النزول how do we understand how does Allah rise up and down
كيف ينزل ويرفع
we're supposed to leave after Asr
The schedule is that we leave after Asr, really. Unless you guys are trying to kill us or something. No. We just want to see what the shaykh told us.